Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Vayeshev Sheni, the second Aliyah in Parshas Vayeshev. Our Aliyah is on the topic of the fateful trip to Shechem, and it runs from Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis to Chof Beis. That is 11 Psukim. Let's take a look at the general overview and then some points to ponder. We hear that now the brothers of Yosef are going down to Shechem. They are going to find pasture there for their sheep. And Yaakov, or Yisrael, turns to Yosef and says to him, I'd like to send you to see your brothers down in Shechem. Go see the peace of your brothers in Shechem, and there the peace of the flocks. And Yosef responds, Hineni, I'm going to do this. He sends him from the valley of Hebron, and off he goes to Shechem. In the meantime, as he's going, he finds a man in a field, and Yosef is lost. Yosef does not know which way to go, and he says, the man asks Yosef, "What are you looking for?" He says, "I'm looking for my brothers. Would you know where they're shepherding?" And he says, "Well, I heard that they said let's go to Dotan." Because they left this area. So that's what happens. Off he goes and starts following, and they see him from a distance, and they start planning to try to kill him. So they say one to another, look, he has this, the dream is coming, let's kill him and throw him into a pit, and we'll say to our father that a wild animal ate him. So Reuven hears this plan, and gets very distressed and says, we shouldn't do that. Rather, he says, let's throw him into a pit, and he plans to save him afterwards, and kill him. So a few basic points to ponder here is, first of all, what was Yaakov Avinu thinking? Why was he sending Yosef into what is potentially a dangerous situation, and not just potentially, but in actuality it turned into a very dangerous situation? So one perspective that I think should be basic in understanding is that never do you really resolve issues if you have an outside party artificially regulating a relationship. Meaning to say, if Yaakov is going to be the mediator, the regulator of this relationship, it's never going to get fixed. He realizes that the only way it can really get fixed is if they have alone time together, they speak to each other, they relate to each other, they communicate to each other directly. So Yaakov is trying to send out this message to have this relationship, to have this meeting with his brothers. And in fact, I think you see this in the words, is that that's why he mentions that the purpose of this trip is to see Shalom. He says that the word Shalom twice in this mission in a very short sentence, indicating that the whole point is here to try to create Shalom in this way. As long as Yaakov is there overseeing it, there's not going to be real peace, there'll be obedience. He's trying to create a face-to-face encounter for there to be peace. Another question that's interesting to think about is that Hebron, which is where Yaakov is right now, is on a hill. It is not in a valley. So what does it mean, Emek Hebron, from the valley of Hebron? Rashi comments on this, and Rashi says that we know that Hebron is on a mountain. It's interesting that Rashi knows Hebron is on a mountain, not because Rashi was there. Rashi never had the privilege of traveling to the land of Israel, but he knows it because Rashi understands Tanakh, and he reads in Bamidbar, it describes that Hebron is not in a valley. So what does it mean that it's described as a valley here? So Rashi quotes the Midrash, which says that it's coming from the Eitzo Amuka Shel Oisa Tzadik HaKavur B'Hebron. It's from the depths of Hebron, underneath the ground, which is from the Bris Ben Abasarim, the covenant between the parts, where Avram Avinu, who is buried there, was told that your children will be foreigners in a foreign land, and this is going to start with this episode right here. And so that's what's actually going on here. So although it may be that Yaakov has certain thoughts, and Yosef has certain thoughts, and the brothers have certain thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan which is unfolding over here as well. Which leads us to the next thing, and that is, who is this man that meets Yosef in the field and offers him direction? Seems very strange. First of all, just in a funny way, it's, you know, since when do men ever ask for directions? But on a more serious note is, does Tanakh need to tell us, like, you know, every stop he has, the Hudson newsstand, and then he went to the rest stop? Like, we need to know all these details. Why is this necessary? So the Midrash Rabbah, as Rashi quotes it, says that over here, this is a ish. This refers to a malach. This is a angel. Rashi actually says it's the Malach Gabriel. He is making sure that Hashem's plan is going to be fulfilled. So even though Yosef perhaps would have given up, or perhaps didn't know where to go, so this angel's there to help him find it as well. And the Ramban sort of expands on this general theme, and he says that this whole episode is to teach us that, as in the Ramban's words, Ki agzera emes v'acharitzos sheker, that Hashem's plan is always going to be, and all diligence or attempts to do something or be somewhere are going to ultimately end up being false. So that's generally the idea over here. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us that he's by hook or by crook, this is going to happen. Ibn Ezra takes a little bit of a different angle, and he says that no, this is our derech pshat. He says, most basically, echod me over derech. This was just any passerby, and he asked a passerby, and this person said, "This is what's going on." I believe that's actually what the Ramban is saying himself. The Ramban actually describes that this is a more derech shalom yidato. This is a person giving directions without his knowledge of giving directions. Well, that is part of this greater plan. And I think that's really a very profound insight. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks actually points out in his book, The Great Partnership, in the chapter called Darwin, when looking at mechanisms in the world which seem to be haphazard, which seems to be completely random mutations, random developments, and he points out that the Jewish way of looking at things is understanding that each of those steps are in fact coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives an example. This could apply itself in many different ways. He quotes The Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, one of the great formulators of understanding the market economy. And he points out a very interesting dichotomy, a very interesting paradox when it comes to the market. And to quote, he says as follows: "As every individual therefore endeavors, as much as he can, both to employ his capital in the support of domestic industry, and so to direct that industry that its produce may be the greatest value, every individual necessarily labors to render the annual revenue of the society as great as he can. He generally, indeed, never intends to promote the public interest, nor knows how he is promoting it. But by referencing the support of domestic to that of the foreign industry, he intends only his own security, and by directing that industry in such a manner that it may produce, his produce may be the greatest value. He intends only for his own gain. And he is, in this, as in many other cases, led by an invisible hand to promote an end which was no part of his own intention." So what Adam Smith is saying is, if you look at a market economy, you have numerous people, multiple people, all going for themselves, all trying to get the best they can. And yet, in that selfishness, in that self-centered vision, the market itself succeeds. And when one person succeeds, the market succeeds and it trends upwards as well. He said it's guided by an invisible hand. What our Sacks was saying is that that model is over here. You have a more derech shalom yidato. You have a person, he's doing his thing. For whatever reasons he says hi to strangers, whatever reason it is that he gives directions, he's a nice person. But in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is unfolding through multiple millions of decisions, self-interested decisions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested. Perhaps one can look at this other mechanism, survival of the fittest, where the same idea also appears as well. Another perspective one could also think about over here is whose angel are you? Are you going to be the angel upon somebody else's derech? Are you going to be part of the divine plan as well? Another question you could ask is, how was it that they wanted to kill their brother? I mean, in the end of the day, they may have had a spat, there might have been a dispute, but the murder, and this is a very, very serious or terrible turn that's been taken over here. So the Sora points out that they believed that Yosef was a Rodef. He was, in fact, planning to kill them. They felt threatened by him because of his past actions and the way that he had brought their actions in a distorted or perhaps negative way back to their father, and they felt that their father would curse them because of Yosef's new report that he was looking to make. They felt he was this biased reporter who was going to come in. And they said, "Well, we can't stand that." Habala hargachal hashkem lahargoy. If one sees that somebody's coming in with malintent, if there's a life-threatening situation, the Torah tells us that one should proceed and remove the threat. That's what they felt like over here. Rav Rivlin, in his commentary on the Torah, points out on the Svarna that they also looked at the past, and they noticed that, generally speaking, there was only one child who was able to preserve the legacy of the parents, and the other ones were pushed out. Yishmael was sent to the desert with one flask of water. They felt that this was a zero-sum game, and they were going to be the ones who were going to be pushed out. They felt very threatened by Yosef as well. The Chumash Tanach points out, the Chida points out in his commentary on the Torah, that that actually they looked to the future, and they saw Yeravam ben Nevat, who was the scion of the Malchus Ephraim, essentially, who was going to take over, and his policies led to two Eglei Zahav, a seceded kingdom, which moved away from the union, and took most of Israel with it, enabling and promoting Avodah Zarah. They said, well, this is what it's going to be in the future. For Yosef, it's better that we don't have that kind of terrible divide in our people as well. Finally, one last question is that it sounds strange. Reuven's suggestion is, let's not kill him, let's just throw him into a pit. And as we see, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that based on the diuk in the Pesukim, the way the Pesukim are read, the pit is, it may not be have water in it, but it has scorpions and snakes, which sounds strange. So what Reuven's saying is, let's not kill him, let's just throw him into a scorpion-infested pit. That, isn't that akin to killing him? So the Aruch HaMakadosh says a remarkable thing, and that is that if we were to kill him now, if we were to act in a way that were to kill him directly, we may interrupt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, Hashem's plan for this young man. But if we put him in a dangerous situation, and the only dangerous to him is a natural danger, Hashem will not allow his nature to go against his plan. So Hashem will not allow him to die if it's a case of natural danger. But our danger, we could in fact destroy Hashem's plan, therefore not know if this was in fact Hashem's plan for him to die or not. Which means that the Aruch HaKadosh is actually diverging from a predominant mainstream Jewish thought, which is usually understood based on the ideas of Yecheskel HaNavi, based on Rav Sajagon expands this, or Rav Sajagon points out that murder is the department of humans and death is the department of God, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the plan and human beings cannot change that plan. We're only punished or held culpable for our actions and attempts. Whereas the Aruch HaKadosh seems to be saying that even the end result can also be in the hands of humans. So the tension between Hashem's plan and human action is being tilted more towards human action in this particular way of looking at it, according to the Aruch HaKadosh. Very famous and very controversial idea that the Aruch HaKadosh is talking about over here. With this, we close the Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.